Let's do this.
That's a bit of a low intro. I'll do it again. No.
Let's do this. There you go.
Now I gotta. Do I have to cut the part of the start?
No.
All right. Keep it going. Professional.
That's an extra 5 seconds that we've just wasted.
Professional.
Professional. So how is you, Colm? I'm telling you. It's another late night podcast with Pat and Colm.
It's going to be exactly about 24 minutes long. So this is a short one for you lads.
Yeah, until somebody comes up and literally kicks us out of this karaoke pod.
Happy birthday, Marion, if you do listen. I know you don't.
She doesn't. Still. Yeah, but
who can blame her?
Nope.
We're up to podcast like 27, I think it is.
Doing all right.
So we got over half a year, so.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
We have to take a break at some point so that we can create a season.
We should be taking a break in the summer when you've got the kids, and like I'll be the same now next year.
Yeah. So what we might
look
do
at me next year. That'll never happen. Christmas maybe. Christmas is going to be an absolute with work and all that kind of stuff and kids off. Same thing again.
I was talking earlier on. I've been doing teeth whitening.
Oh, yes.
And since I started it, I've been having absolutely horrible nightmares.
Pains? Oh, nightmares? What?
Nightmares. I do it late at night before I go to bed. So I watch a movie or whatever it is, or I watch a TV show, stick it in, and then as soon as I go to bed, fall asleep straight away, and the most vivid, horrible life dreams, like the worst things that can happen in your life, happening in the dreams. And they're so realistic. They're emotional. I wake up, and I'm like, oh, thank God. I don't even freak out or go, ah. I just go, oh, thank God, it's not real. Because like I'm still half awake, you know, in that dream. It's like lucid dreaming almost. Like I'm emotionally still involved.
You're still involved with it.
Ugh.
Nothing better than waking up and going, oh, thank God, that wasn't real. But do you ever get the one where you're an absolute multimillionaire and you've bought this and you've made this great business and you wake up and go, oh, no, I'm still...
I'm still me.
Still flat broke as in myself.
We're not flat broke. You're all right. You're doing okay. You're head above water.
I made about €50 from a tablet rentals there. The week.
Woo! Living the big life.
Saying that then, yesterday, I had to fill my wife's car with diesel and I had to fill my van with diesel. €200 worth of diesel in one day.
And then you'd be like, no unnecessary journeys.
And my wife, I'm just going to go down to the beach to see if the sea is there. I'm like, what? She loves the beach. But like, I'm like, do we really need to go down
women
to West
love
Cork?
The beach. I think women love the beach.
My wife would live on the beach, even a tent, if she had to.
The question I always ask her, are you a side of the pool person or a toes in the sand at the beach person?
Sand can go suck it. Sand
is
the most
everywhere.
Horrible
if
stuff.
If you go to the beach once, it is going to be in your car for at least 2 years.
At least. Minimum.
In fact, when you go to sell the car, they were like, did you go to the beach?
I have looked at installing a power washer in the back of my wife's car. I have the socket out the back, so I wire the socket into the back of the boot. I was like, can you get a 12-volt power washer?
And a 4-litre bottle of water.
Exactly. And just power wash the kids before they get back anywhere near the car.
Good for the feet. I was at a couple of beaches recently, and they have the taps, so you can wash your feet when you come off the beach.
Yeah, I know, but there's still sand. And then you go, I wash my feet, and then the kids are going to run across the road with the sand. And then you're like, right, that's getting implanted in their skin forever again.
Yeah, I'm not a big beach fan.
Grass. Parks. I'm all for parks.
More parks.
More parks with a big swimming pool. And then I'm happy. Off you go.
Carrie Navarre has an outdoor swimming pool.
I've never been there. My wife, or you told me about it. I was telling my wife that there was a swimming pool out there. She's like, what? Where? What? Does it what now?
It's like being in Benidorm.
Really though.
On
is there people
hot,
trying to
on a hot
people
day.
Trying to sell you shots outside?
Everyone running in.
How's it going?
With their
shots?
Towel trying to claim a seat on a bench. One of those wooden picnic benches. The dreams, yeah, they're killing me at the moment. But it unearthed a dream that I remember having many, many, many years ago, a recurring dream.
I've had one since I was seven, yeah. Go on.
Yeah, since I was seven, whenever I remember dreaming, and it's about rolling up a carpet. So it's like a big red carpet, and it's really, really, really long, and it goes on for miles, and you can't see what's at the end. And I'm starting to roll it up, and eventually, yeah, this dream goes on for ages, and I'm rolling and rolling and rolling. And eventually I meet another fella who's rolling the carpet the opposite way. And we meet somewhere in the middle. And then we have a fight about who should be the one that goes back. And it is an almighty fight of just giving out and saying, you're the one who should go back. And it's all fighting. And then you wake up and I'm angry.
Well, yours is great. Mine is I'm locked in a box. And the man, I can't... I can
Sorry
never,
for laughing at your I, no, I know, traumatic
I,
dream.
I can never see his face, but he's got a hat on. And all he ever does is... I can still see it now, right now. He just opens the box, looks at me, and then closes the box
Are you
again.
Sure this was a dream and it's not really happened and you've been locking it away?
I have
a
clue.
Convincing yourself
it's been since I was in the hospital. So something probably when I was in hospital for 3 months. And I started then. And I, then, like, every year I will have that dream.
Every year.
And
the same time every year.
Every
July 12th.
And the clock struck 12. Bong. And the man opens the box. No, it's not. It just happens randomly. I might have it 2 or 3 times in a year as well.
Guess what? You're having it tonight.
But, oh, 100%, because I'm thinking about it now. But it happens.
I'm rolling up a carpet tonight.
But the whole dream is just that. And I'm in the box and I'm just waiting to box and I'm like, it's so dark. It's like, I wish I could get out. And the man just opens the box, looks at me, doesn't say anything, and just closes it again. I can't get out.
I don't like that.
I know, it's horrible. I've been having this since I was 7.
Hey, that's a film.
Maybe. The Box.
Yeah, it's pretty good to call it.
The Box!
The Boy in the Box.
The Boy in the Box.
Chilling.
Oh my God, I'm frightened from my own nightmares.
A24 are already making that film.
Well, if they can make it a movie out of Blair Witch Project of people just shaky cameras.
Found footage.
Yeah.
And it's from the man's perspective of looking into the box.
Okay. Just looks in it, just looks at me later.
Hat.
And I grow old every time. Every time he opens up, I'm getting a year older every time he looks into the box.
And that's why you dream of it every year.
Yeah, that's it.
But you're actually still in the box, Pat. This is not your life.
What? I'm fucking freaking out. Right. Can we change the subject? I'm getting frightened now of my own
From
dream.
One nightmare to another. Tickets on Ticketmaster.
Did you get Oasis tickets?
I did not. I woke up.
First time you... I didn't know where you... I knew you were where you were in the queue because I asked you, I go, where are you in the queue?
I was at 245.
I was like...
1,000.
I was at like 25,000 or something.
Yeah. You did the math. It didn't math.
So, got there. And when I finally got there, it was €430 for the tickets.
What time did you actually join the queue?
I was in the queue about 10 to 8.
I was in the queue at 20 past 7.
Huh?
I texted my brother, who I believe was up a tiny bit earlier than I was, and he joined the queue around the same time as I did. When he got through, he was at 15,000. And when I got through at the exact same time, when I joined the queue at the exact same time, I was at 245,000. That doesn't make sense. It's like I was randomly allocated a spot.
I think it is.
But I was waiting and I did it on my phone. And the worst thing about doing it on your phone, it is terrible.
When did you do it on your laptop? You were in
your bed. I was on a stag in Kenmare.
And oh, Lord.
I didn't drink. I wasn't drinking the night before, really. And then the next morning I made sure to be up. And I set my alarm for 7 and I woke up and I was went for a wee-wee, came back in. I should have joined the queue before the wee-wee, which I don't think would have made sense, but... Because I still probably would have got
it. It made absolutely no sense anyway.
It was just made up. And this surge pricing thing.
That is, like, I had watched a video of Justin Hawkins. Justin Hawkins rides again.
Of the darkness.
Again. If you're a YouTube fan and you like music, you should subscribe to Justin Hawkins Rides Again. It's actually a very good podcast.
He was very nice.
Music. But he was on about Oasis and all that, and he's had pictures with Oasis, and Liam Gallagher hasn't said nice things about him. But he said, listen, he just goes, I understand people just charging and what they're doing, and it's perfectly legal what they're doing.
I don't know if it technically is.
They have said it is. And they've said, oh, StubHub, all the touts, there's not less tickets up in StubHub. Because of course there is. If you're paying €500...
Well, technically, they will say that, oh, it's to stop touting and it's to set a price so that no one will sell the tickets because they can't. Technically, what they've done is they've just now replaced StubHub with themselves.
Yeah, we're now the touts.
Now, they're the touts now. So, and you can't deny that. Like,
allegedly. Can we say allegedly?
No, it's not. They're touting.
There you go, Cullum. Cullum's willing to die on this hill.
But again, I also think it's a very unfair system. What they've done is they've told you it's going to be 150 for a standard ticket. Yeah. You go in, the price surging comes on, and then all of a sudden there's this huge queue. You're standing in a queue, you're watching a countdown. You see this bar going down and down.
Oh, yeah.
Then you get in, and there's a new timer in the top corner. And if you do manage to have two tickets and you see, oh, they're €460 each or £460 each, whatever it might be. And you go, and it's ticking down in the corner. And you think, oh.
If I don't grab them now, they're gone.
They're gone. And then there's this, it's a manipulation. It is a trickery. It is like that thing where they put $9.99. You know, it's that old school hard sell.
I feel it's worse than that.
It's $9.99. Snake oil fellas inside in a shop, inside in town, going, you know, this is a perfume. We're selling perfume, perfume, we want perfume. That kind of like old school hard sell. If you don't take it now, it'll be gone. If you don't, and then
and when they're gone, they're really gone.
And they say, and you're logged in, and you have your card in your hand, and
oh, I got €430, two tickets, 860, and I was looking at it, and I went, Anna, I can't pay this money. And she was like, that's ridiculous money. I said, I'm going to go to two or three Liverpool games. And I said, I will enjoy it way more. And I said, I'm not.
A way better experience. What you'll get for the same price of going to Liverpool or going to, you could have gone to Coldplay three times for that price.
Yeah.
100%. Four times for that price.
Yeah, 100%. And
and the production value in comparison with price.
The production value of Coldplay is phenomenal. Phenomenal. You have to say it. They put massive work into their shows. And then when you're going, the average ticket was £150, I think it was.
Between 120 and 180. And they had a couple of tickets that were only €50 each.
Yeah. So, and then they've got the wristbands, they've got fireworks, they've got flamethrowers, big screens, jumping
different
around the place.
Stages, running up and down, a 2 hour solid show.
Confetti flying around the place.
Big balloons going around.
Crowd interaction.
Glasses that change all, you know.
Oh, yeah, the moon glasses.
Moon glasses.
Please put on your moon glasses.
Moon glasses.
But what we got for £150.
And these two fellas are just going to go up on stage and sing, and then they'll probably sell off a few fireworks at the end. That's the most you can expect for them.
They'll have a big screen.
It's about the music.
They'll have a big screen. Saying that, I would pay £150 to see them.
What is it as well with the lads that go to those concerts and have the Karen haircuts? Do you know what I mean? With the long locks on their ears. The mad fellas. Well, they're not really mads. Mads are the 60s.
It's the haircut.
Yeah. Sorry, you were apologizing to me to cut you off.
Well, yeah.
I'm always doing it.
You're always doing it.
Shut up.
He's going to get another shout. Buddy Dave said that he nearly crashed the car when you showed his shout out to me last week. He loves an old shout out. But yeah, I pay £150 to go see Oasis because I always want to go see Oasis. My brothers made me sell my ticket back in 1996 to one of their friends.
Bastards.
They did queue for the ticket and they bought me the ticket and I paid for it. So they queued for me. They should bring back the Ticketmaster queuing at the Merchant's Quay.
That was amazing. When you used to queue up outside and you'd make friends.
But real fans would queue 3 days beforehand.
Yeah, but you'd always have a few ticket totes standing in there as well to get the old physical tickets. Be five or six lads up at the front of the queue and they wouldn't have any. Or I'll take eight.
That was me. I got 10 U2 tickets there for all my friends.
No. Again, capping it at four is probably the way forward.
Capping at four. But if you had to queue for your tickets, you'd.
They were saying then as well, we want to take away from the danger of queuing overnight. Outside in the dirt and the cold and the rain inside in the city.
So we're going
to
charge you.
Imagine all the homeless fellas coming up to you in the queue. Sorry, have you got a euro? Have you got €2 for a hustle?
But yes, I would pay £150 to see Oasis. I cannot justify anything over €200 for seeing a band that... But go back to what Justin Hawkins said. He said what they used to, and he still does, is... Have your ticket price. Sell out your tickets at the price that you have set them at. If it sells out, you get another date. You do another date. And he said, if you really enjoy what you're doing for your fans, you will do extra dates. Yeah. Coldplay did four dates.
Those two lads don't care about their fans.
They don't.
They don't. They really don't.
I feel they've taken a massive backlash from
hardcore fans that will say, oh, that's Oasis for you. What did you expect from them? These are them. You know, like, they weren't really nice people back in the day. And I suppose it was part of their persona. Like, they're probably clever lads. They know, pretending to be the hard man in front of all the cameramen and, like, calling fellas' names and stuff and pretending to go for a fight. Look, most of them couldn't fight them out of a paper bag. Do you know what I mean? Like, lanky.
You see it. You hear it first. Call him Lockheed versus Noel.
I'd probably get punched in the back of the head now walking around Dublin next year. And be Liam. Want to have a go if you are enough?
But I think it's crazy. We said it before about, remember we were on about Usher playing across and the pricing of tickets and stuff like that. It's just gone off the scale. For what you're getting. As we did it, I said before, Bruno Mars, we went to Cologne, we got fucking way cheaper than what we were getting in Dublin. Mm. Like, between me and you, Colm, I got a good deal on my Coldplay tickets.
Yeah.
Right, I got a good deal on my Coldplay tickets. And even with my friend driving up, and with food, and getting the Lewis in, and paying for parking, and, you know, bits and pieces, all the bits and pieces, it was costing about €200.
Yeah, yeah, easily.
If you were to throw the really expensive tickets on top of that, and then a hotel, you're looking at a holiday for a week in Spain for the same price you're getting, something like that. Like,
if you could get a hotel, or if you had a hotel booked and then all of a sudden it was cancelled.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we were overbooked, unfortunately.
Our system had a small bit of a hiccup. Oh,
but if you want to, you can rebook in for 7 times more. Would you like to do that?
That is legal, right? Because technically no money has changed hands, right? And I know you haven't bought anything on Ticketmaster when the price surges up. So technically they're probably going around it. But I still believe that surge pricing has to be against some sort of consumer law in the EU. And we just haven't looked at it the right way yet. If you word it the right way, you could say, well, that technically is against the law.
But if you look at it, even in bars, if they raise the prices up, they have to have their pricing outside, don't they?
Yeah, they do. You can't just go into a bar and then pay and then expect, and then you look at your bill afterwards and go, hold on, this is €3 more expensive than earlier on. And they go, oh, sorry, we charge more after 11.
Can I tell you something? I can't name names, but there is a hotel in Cork that the price goes up every hour.
Every hour?
Every
well, that's against the law because hour. That's technically trying to force people to buy early.
It's every hour.
Go on, name them.
I can't. I won't.
I know you can't. I'm joking.
I won't. But there is a hotel.
I know who it is.
In Cork.
I know. I don't.
You don't. I was like, I know. I was going to go muting microphones here.
I can see you getting ready. Yeah.
You'd have to cut it out.
That's technically against the law. You can, in Ireland, you can have one price for day and one price for night. So you can change the price. Betweens, but you can't run happy hours when it comes to.
Well, yeah, you can, and you can't even mention the word happy hour.
I think it's very difficult to do 2-for-1 things, but they do. They're people get away with it. It's not as enforced, I think, but
as doing €2 points between 4 and 5.
Unlike the UK, which throws caution to the wind, they have happy hours. They have. Do you want to double up for a pound?
Yes,
that breaks my brain. Until the one day I got asked. Well, your man goes, would you like to double up on that?
Is that the vodka? Was that when we were in, Liverpool?
It was in Liverpool. You weren't with me. And I said to your man, he was an awful barman. They're terrible barmen over there. Let's be honest with you. Not even allegedly.
I remember you doing lots of vodka and Red Bull.
Yeah, that was a separate one. but this time I was there and I was with Jar, my friend, and I was ordering at the bar. And I said to your man, normally what happens is you say, I'll have a vodka Red Bull. And they'll say, would you like to double up for a pound? And oh, yeah. Stupid question, my friend.
Of course I will.
Of course. So your man gets to me, would you like to double up? And he never said the price. And I was like, what's the difference between a single and a double? And he turned around, he looked at me for a few seconds and he went, a double's more. And I said, I know that. He meant like volume of liquid. That's what he was going. And then he went, oh, a single is £5 and a double is 10. And I was like, single is fine, buddy. and then he poured all the wrong stuff into the glass and he still charged me for it, even though I told him that he did it all wrong. And I was just like, that's it, we're gone.
We're gone. I'm drinking my €10 vodka.
But you will find in UK bars, you'll go, can I get 2 vodkas, 1 Red Bull, 1 vodka with pineapple juice? Can I get a sal, a pint of Carling and a shot of tequila rose, right?
And they'll go, can I get two?
And they'll get one drink, the first drink you said first, and then they'll come back. And it was a vodka and what? And you're like, a vodka and...
Did you say a pineapple? You wanted an actual pineapple. Is that what you want?
And then he'll go away and he'll come back and be like, and a bottle of...
And the last one they come back with is, I'm going to start pulling your Guinness now.
Oh, Jesus! Well, the Guinness first!
The Guinness first, buddy! What are you doing?
Or when they pull the Guinness all the way to the top and they try to convince you that they've got fast flow Guinness.
You're there looking at this brown mess on the counter.
You don't even drink it, you know.
I see it. And then they push it across and I see it slopping out the top and you're missing half of it. I'm there looking at them going... This is me just noticing what I'm seeing across the way. And we just, it's just horrible. It's just horrible the way they do it. And it never looks right.
It doesn't.
And you see the foam, it looks like, I don't know, It looks like Swiss cheese, the amount of holes in it, the amount of air inside in the lines.
You don't even think you understand what
I understand it.
And you understand what it's supposed to look like.
I know what it looks like.
And these guys, they think that's okay. They think it's acceptable.
You'll drink it. You're fine. You're at a football match.
That'll be £8, mate. That'll be £8.
What?
I don't know why I'm in a London bar all of a sudden.
Yeah, but it's
Jason Statham. It'll be £8.
I feel like stepping in is not even my pint.
I know. Sorry, don't drink that. Consumer law.
Excuse
consumer
me,
law.
Just knock it back over. Don't knock back over.
We're
the
not you, mate. We don't have to follow the consumer laws. You've got your own consumer laws, buddy.
Listen, do we have to make another Nigel Farage cameo to step in about the pints?
Pint in.
They won't touch your pints in the UK.
He was doing it during the week. Did
what?
You see it?
No.
About the beer gardens.
What?
So the beer gardens, there was what's your man? Stir Karen, is it with Kier? I can't say his name, it's gone out of my head. Stir Karen. Stam Kerner? Kerner Stam? I can't remember his name. The PM.
Colonel Starmer.
Colonel Starmer. Colonel Starmer, anyway. Kier Stam.
Stam. No!
Stum. Kier is his first name. Sir Kier Stam.
No, it's not Stan.
From Holland.
Oh, come on. Just go. Get on with this beer garden.
So they were talking, you know, their labor. They were talking about bringing in a ban in all smoking areas. So you couldn't, like, so outdoor areas of restaurants and bars, you can't smoke anymore. The idea is, same as like in Canada, go away down the road and come back.
Okay.
So you can't smoke outside so that people outside can actually smoke or can enjoy the sunshine and have a drink without having to have
smoke in front of them. Right? Yes.
So he did an interview during the week where he had a pint in one hand and a cigarette lit in the other. And he was standing outside and he was like, I'm not going to let them take your pint. No. I'm not going to let them take your cigarette. We don't live in a nanny state. And literally, like, it's just the cigarette burning down.
Waiting for it to hit his
finger. Because he wasn't smoking. He doesn't smoke, I don't think.
He just wants to join.
You could do all those cameos if he had a smoker's voice.
You could do. You could do.
Wheezing at the 40 at one of the day.
Taking away your bacon fries. I'm all for segregated smoking areas, though.
Yeah, there should be an outdoor area people can't smoke as well.
It kind of gives me, I'm in the smoking area doing quiz. Some people have been just sitting next to me and they're smoking. I'm like,
we used to DJ upstairs in a smoking area of a bar. We won't name it. And we used to do the 80s versus 90s.
I wanted to do a bad, you know, one that sounds just like it. Moodoo. We won't name it.
It's a Prodigy song. It's got people in it, is it?
Yeah.
Go on. And all the students were smoking, and the two of us would stink.
Well, we agreed to work in this area.
Okay. We weren't forced. We knew what it was. But eventually we just stopped doing it because we couldn't. We would look at each other and go, no.
Smoke. And you're like, and we were kind of jumping around the place and trying to sing on microphones. And you're like, this is killing me.
And I'd be wheezing.
Can we open the roof more? It's lashing rain. Open it more. Can we please?
But your microphones are connected to an electrical socket. I don't care. I'm willing to risk.
Fine. It'll be grand.
No. It's all part of the show. It's all part of the show, folks. We'd put on more of a show than the Gallagher brothers, I'd say.
We probably would do.
They wouldn't have.
We'd have sparklers in our hands.
Spark machines.
Sparklers in our hands. Woo! Champagne supernova! Yeah! And people are like.
Perfect.
He doesn't even have the right air of the song. He's an idiot.
We've only got about a minute or two left.
Till she comes up and kicks us out of here. I know people are giving out. They're like, I want my extra 22 seconds.
But this might be nice. You can turn around to yourself and say, you know what? That was tidied up quick. The boys didn't ramble on about something stupid like Ticketmaster or
or Moodoo. Moodoo smoking. But I do not miss the whole smoking and how do we do it in bars?
I'm going to admit it. He got it right when he introduced it, Micheál Martin. That is his legacy. And he got it right. Like, it was a bit of time to adjust. But back at the time, we used to put cigarettes out in carpets inside nightclubs.
I thought you were going to say kids' heads. We used to put cigarettes out in kids' heads.
No, that's your other dream.
That's the other one.
That's the one when you're not locked in the box.
Oh, yeah, get out and you're burning the cigarettes
on your
head.
Body. Yeah, but he got it right. He did. Like, I mean, it was a bit of an adjustment. We had the Euro.
People are
going to
kill us now. What about the whole vapes thing? Can we just get rid of them?
Vapes, they're awful. And I'll be honest with you. After we came back from COVID and we did the first independence, I have never felt so sad. When I saw the field afterwards littered with battery operated plastic vape throwaway pod things. They were everywhere. I actually was like, I'd prefer if it was all cigarette butts.
What was the line you said? Oh, was it? I didn't. I was it.
I
didn't give up fucking plastic straws for these.
That's it, yeah.
There was a C word running there to be throwing these things around the ground. I didn't give up my plastic straws. And you're dead right, though. We're all drinking Coca-Colas out of, or I mean Pepsi.
Milkshakes.
Milkshakes.
There you go, I got you out of it.
Pepsi's our
Pepsi
choice, choice. Yes, our drink
choice. Choice for new generation.
Yes. Thanks for booking me in. Thank you again. But soggy straws for all these vapes to be thrown around the ground.
Yeah.
Am I just a cranky old man now?
No, not at all. There's all the virtue
positive. Don't smell the farts inside in the bars as much because people are still vaping away in the bars no matter what we try and stop.
And right in front of us.
I do call them out though.
Some fella was smoking beside me one time and I went, can I? But my hand just pretend to take it off him. And you know, like, can I have a smoke? Yeah. And he handed it to me and I just threw it away. Then I had to give him a fiver because I couldn't find it. But he was just annoying me so much. It was the second time I'd asked him. I was like, would you mind not? I was like, can I get a... And I did that. Can I get it? He handed it to me, the stupid fella, and I just threw it away. I probably hit someone in the crowd as well. Probably someone was looking around then. It probably caused a fight, and two fellas got kicked out. I don't know. But it just annoyed me.
I even nearly had a fight inside in the shop today.
Stop. You're back fighting in shops again.
Fighting around the world. No, I was standing outside a shop, and there's a shop where...
Can you name it?
Yeah. Gala out in Ovens.
Gala. Was your freedom desire?
Do, 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 do. That's many men. So basically, there's three cars can kind of park in that area, but it's very tight, yeah. Very tight. Three cars can kind of park in. It's usually two, and then there's space for people to walk.
Oh, so you're fighting in the parking lot.
So I was standing outside the door. There's a park bench, two park benches outside, and I was standing talking to a guy, and his kids were there and stuff like that. Next thing, I hear, and next thing, the guy with me pushes me out of the way. But your man came very close to hitting me, like literally within an inch of hitting me, and he drove up. And I was like, and everybody, there was about 10 lads sitting out all having their lunches from the local area. They're all sitting there like, geez, do you know him? And I was like, I better know him. And because, you know, the way a friend would message, you know, blow the horn. But it was a very aggressive. If my friend didn't push me out of the way, the car would have hit me 100%. So the guy get out of the car and I goes, are you all right? And your man was like, what's wrong with you? And walked into the shop. So I'm not joking. All these full grown, like 50-year-old men were all looking at me going,
he's going to throw down.
Do you actually know him? I went, I don't know him at all. So I said, I better go in and see what's wrong with him. So the lad's like, oh, I can't wait to see this. So I just went up to him and he was ordering a sandwich. And I went up and I goes, are you all right, buddy? And he was like, what do you mean? I goes, you nearly hit me with your car and you blew the horn. He goes, no, I didn't. I goes, just 10 people outside have said that they saw you do it. So I said, are you okay? And he goes, what do you mean? I goes, you nearly hit me. I said, you're being very aggressive. So I said, what's your problem? And he went, I didn't hit you at all. I goes, you nearly did. And he goes, oh yeah, whatever. Sorry.
That's even worse again.
I just stood there and this girl behind the shop, she came up and she was like, are you all right? Jur.
Oh, she knew him.
Yeah. So there you are, Jur.
Screw you, Jur.
Screw you, Jur. But he walked off and she goes, he's a bit strange to mind him. And I walked out.
Oh, no, Jur, if he hears this.
Oh, Jur.
He's going to know. They all think you're strange in Gala.
Yeah, they all hate you, Jur. Nobody likes you, Jur.
Nobody likes you,
Jur. I know what your car looks like, Jur. If I see you again, I'm going to... Gerald.
Gerald.
Did I hurt your feelings, Jur?
I found it a new way of annoying people more.
Go on.
Like, just tell them, like...
Just to be nice ones.
Yeah, be overly nice.
I can't.
I love you, man. Love you, man. You know what? I know this is coming from somewhere else, you know?
Okay, I can't. I go straight for regression, as you know. But I'm like, when 10 people look at you and go, that was not right what that person did, you go,
they wanted a
that
fight.
That wasn't right.
They wanted a fight.
I would have fought, Jar. Jar, I'll meet you outside in the park.
He claims you.
I'll batter that sandwich down your throat, Jar.
What did he get?
Hope you choke.
Do you know what sandwich he was ordering?
Do you know what? I flustered him so much when I went up and he was ordering a sandwich. He couldn't remember everything. I'd say he ordered coleslaw and tuna and ham and
with sweet corn.
Yeah, can I get some spiced chicken? Spiced chicken on top of that as well.
No, I meant southern fried. Southern fried. It's already cut.
It's cut.
It's already cut. It's already cut. You can't go back.
And you know what?
Do you know what he did?
He wanted to quick it up so much. He said, "You want? Don't bother cutting it." He tried to get out there as fast
as possible. And then he had to buy sausages from the little cup that is under the heat lamp for a half hour. He was flustered so much he had to buy those.
Nobody buys them.
No, don't buy them. We've warned
but he got very bad. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. So yeah, Jer, if you're out there, I'm coming to get you, Jer.
Right.
Allegedly.
I hope Jer didn't get away with his tickets. Or if he did, he had to pay 500,000 euros.
Yeah, I hope he did. I hope you put your mortgage at risk, Jer, and you're going to lose your house. Hope you lose your house over Oasis, Jer. Anyway, we're going to leave on a good note because somebody looked in the window to us there 2 seconds ago.
Right. You know what, Jer, best of luck getting your Oasis tickets. We got to say good night.
Good night, and we love you all. Bye.
Jeez, that was fast, wasn't it?
And we get out of here, quick.
Just saying, you wrapped it up really quick there at the end. We didn't even say a proper goodbye.
Goodbye. Hope you're choking your sandwich, Jer.
Jer!
Hope you have bad dreams, Jer.
Jer!